Good morning. How are you guys doing? Wow, really? Let's try that again. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Great. Good. I'm sick. I hugged Gary last week before he left when he told you not to, right? I had to hug him anyways, and so I came down with what he got. So I apologize if this gets a little messed up or froggy, but I apologize for that. But it's the holiday time. It's Christmas time again, right? 365 days from this day last year. Right? Crazy. But I think what's important to realize is the sights and sounds of Christmas. Do you guys like the sights and sounds? The Christmas trees, all the wreaths and the music. Do you guys like Christmas music? Kind of gets you into that festiveness and, you know, the food and the drinks and, you know, just that holiday spirit, right? You guys like that? Amen? Yeah? And then you go out to the stores and it's not so holiday, is it? Right? There's a lot of family issues. There's a lot of crises going on, right? We just had a terrorist attack in San Bernardino and 14 people lost their lives. It's not such a Christmas time, is it, in the world today? You turn on the news and it's kind of sad. Sometimes you don't even want to watch news. How many don't even watch the news anymore, right? You just get tired of watching the news because it's just too upsetting, you know? Well, this message is kind of going to help with that a little bit because you know what? The news is going to go on. Terrorist attacks are going to, the world is changing. The United States is changing. It's not what it was when I was a kid, and it's certainly not going to be when my kids grow up. It's going to be different. And I don't think there's much that we can do to change the way America's going. But it's Christmas time. I can't take the fact that there's a beautiful tree there. We have all this music time, and it's not about the presents. It's not about the tree. It's not about the decorations. It's not about the music. It's about the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, right? Right, so if you get out your outlines, the heading of the sermon is, you know, home for Christmas. You know, we're trying to find that home. We're always looking for that place that we can go, that we have that peace, that we can get that rest, that place that we can call home. But some of our homes are messed up. Some of our homes have changed. There are people that I know that this time last year, their families are now different. Children are gone, and they're not coming home. People have lost the terrorist attack. You know, we're looking at this ever-changing thing, and it's kind of sad, but we can't let it overtake us, right? Because we're children of God, correct? It can't overtake us. We can't get so depressed that we become inactive and unable. But what we can do is realize that we can do all things through Christ Jesus is the one that strengthens us. So it's home for Christmas, and the story, of course, is always about Mary and Joseph. You know, you can't have little baby Jesus without Mary and Joseph. And we tell the story over and over and over again, but this time, you know, Eeyore, me, Mary Poppins, Gary is back there. He's not preaching today, so Eeyore gets to preach. So I love Matthew, because Matthew, there's no talking about heavenly angels and the skies being singing. You know, that's in Luke. Luke's Mary Poppins. He talks about all these wonderful, glorious things that happen, and Matthew's over here and says, this is how it's going to be. This is what happened, right? I love Matthew. And so we're talking about Mary and Joseph, and they'd have some plans, you know? They thought they knew how it was all going to happen. You know, Mary takes off to go see Elizabeth. They're betrothed. They're going to get married. Everything's going as planned until Mary comes back, and she's pregnant. We know the story. You guys know the story? Mary comes back. She's pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and she has little baby Jesus. And things do not go as planned. In fact, it all goes south. Things change. There are obstacles in our life, and I don't care when it is. It just happens to be December today, the Christmas time. But there's going to be things that you cannot change in your life. There's going to be these obstacles in your life, and it was so for Mary and Joseph. When Mary came back, she's pregnant. She's 3 months pregnant. She's definitely showing. Joseph had this plan, and now their plans have changed. In fact, he goes from how this is going to be when she comes back to now focusing on, do I publicly dispose of her or do I divorce her quietly? That's quite the change. To go from she's leaving to I can't wait till she comes back to now what do I do with her? Throw her out or divorce her quietly? He decides to divorce her quietly because he loves her. Man, it's just as planned. things have changed. And it doesn't stop there with Mary and Joseph. In fact, the whispers, here's the part. Did you guys realize that Mary and Joseph, when they started out in Nazareth? You guys realize that? And then they go off to Bethlehem, and then they go off to Egypt, and then you know where they go back? Nazareth. Think about that. Their home is where they're starting out. And the things that happen take them away from home. Things happen in our lives that are unchangeable. Things happen in our lives that are the obstacles, and sometimes they lead us away from the safety or the safety net of our homes or what we think. And the same through with Mary and Joseph. They thought they had it all figured out. They thought they had it all planned out. But the whispers inside Nazareth now, because Mary is pregnant, were too much for Mary and Joseph. In fact, I could almost hear the conversation. I can't even get work, Mary. He's a contractor. So I completely get, Mary, I don't even understand. I'm going out there and all, no, nobody's hiring me. I hear all these whispers. And I think it has to do with you. You know, I can't stand this place. This is not what I thought was home. You know, the family is now divided. My family doesn't even want to talk to me because they think you're a harlot. And your family doesn't want to talk to me. They think I'm the one that got you pregnant and before we even got married. I could see almost the topic of the conversations. And so the whispers become so much in their lives that it's like when the mail comes, you ever have disaster happen in your life? Let me give you some advice. Don't go to the mailbox, right? Don't go to the mailbox, because I guarantee you what's meeting you there is not going to be a happy ending. Joseph goes to the mailbox and he gets this letter and he's got to go back to where his family came from to register. And when you go register, during, it's coming with a tax you have to pay. Anybody get a tax bill unexpectedly? Anybody get a bill in the mail? It's like, man, this is too much. Same thing with Mary and Joseph. The same plan of attack. They're like, you know what? The whispers are too much. I'm looking at this register. We don't have the money. We've got to go. And maybe this is a good time to go, Mary. Maybe this is a good time. Let's pack up. Our families are divided. This is not what we thought. And so they leave. And they go to Bethlehem. And they think it's going to get even better. But what meets them there? It's a packed town. Everybody's there. Anybody go to Disneyland in June? Right? People running over your feet, stomping on you. Not this place on earth. Bethlehem was packed. Mary's pregnant. Now she's 8 months pregnant or more, because she's getting ready to have this baby. This is not how they thought that they would leave Nazareth and she would be, the family would be divided. This is not how it is. And this is with us today. Last year was different than this year. How many of you are going through something that you didn't think you would be going through last year? And now you're going through it this year, and you just don't understand why. That's what's happening with Mary and Joseph. And it just seems to get worse. This is the baby Jesus. You would think that if anybody would have anything go well for them, Mary and Joseph, correct? Amen? I mean, this is Jesus. You would think that the places would empty out, the streets would clear, a room would come due with a view. Right? But people would be bringing them food, and it would be like, yes, yes, this is the Savior. Yes, the angels were right in Luke. But that's not what happens. There's no room at the inn. They get a barn. You know, I could see Joseph trying to make the best of this barn. And Mary goes into labor. You know, there's no midwife. No midwife came to the rescue. An angel didn't come down and say, hey, let me take care of this for you, Joseph. I know you didn't deliver a baby, but, you know, let me do this for you. No! Joseph's over there going, I'm a carpenter. What am I supposed to do with delivering a baby? Is everything that I heard even true? And then the baby delivered. And everything for a split second fades to black and goes, good. You're staring at this little infant. When you stare at a baby, you can't help but be happy. You can't help but be happy. You can't help but smile. Everything just kind of goes away. And then there's a knock on the door. And something else happens. In this case, I'm going to just kind of do, you know, my own assumption here. When they finally found the barn, you know when they feed the animals? Early in the morning. right? I'm sure the knock came at the door, and they're like, man, I hope you guys are done, because I got to feed the animals. You guys got to get out, right? You think about that for a minute. It's like, were they shoved right out? And how many of us feel like we're just getting pushed out? We're even pushed out from our own homes and our own places. We just feel displaced. You look at the newspaper, you read the headlines, and it's like, this is not the United States I thought it would be. This is home that I would have. This is not how I planned it to be. Because things just don't go as planned. Right? Well, so they get out. They're back on the streets. Joseph says, like anybody else, any good husband, he says, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go get some work. I've got to feed. You got a baby now. You were feeding the baby. It was just me and you were pregnant. Now it's me, you, and Jesus. You know, God, where are you? God, where are you? You were born. This is that the baby was born in a barn. God, where are you? And there's Mary nursing Jesus, who's called Emmanuel. He's crying out, God, where are you? God, where are you? And there's Mary nursing Jesus, because he's with us. He's with her. He's with him. Not as we planned it would be. There is no guarantees of this life, but there's one guarantee, that is Jesus. Right? And so Joseph gets to work, and guess what? Bethlehem isn't Nazareth. He's getting all the work that he can. Nobody has seen a guy like Joseph. He can design stuff, he can build stuff, he's getting work. Because in Matthew it says that they were there for 2 years. And now they go from a barn to a home. They're moving on up. They're moving on up to the east side. Right? So they go from a barn to, it's 2 years, things are going great. Joseph's got more work than he can imagine. He's like, man, leaving Nazareth was the best thing ever. But they're missing their families. They're missing that home. Something's missing. But things are going good, right? You ever get that way? You ever get to where you're just, things are going well. You got prosperity. Things are happening, but something's missing. You know, sometimes when things are going so well, you could act further from God. Amen? And not even realize it. Prosperity is not a guarantee that God is with you. The only thing the Bible says is that God guarantees to be with us through our suffering, through those hardships. Right? Amen? Amen? You guys sleeping, awake? Whatever. I'm here, trying to be. So anyways, Mary and Joseph go on, and it's 2 years, and there's another knock on the door, and this now it's the wise men. It's 2 years later. It's not like the story show. It's not like the nativity scene where they're all there together. The shepherds showed up that night at the barn. 2 years later, the wise men show up. We don't even know how many wise men. We just equate it to three, because there was three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men come. Man, this is Jesus. We've been following the star, right? We've been following the star. We're here because of Jesus. We don't know all the story about the wise men, but we can guarantee that they studied Scripture. They knew what to look for. They knew where to go. They knew what questions to ask. And they find themselves at the home of Mary and Joseph, bearing them gifts. I know, and Gary has preached this before, when I get a gift of money and it comes out of nowhere, I know God's preparing me for something to go wrong, right? And Gary can attest to that. You get a check, and something comes in, and it's like you weren't prepared to get it. You know something. God is going to do something for you ahead of the game. You don't want to go through it, but it's like, oh, I was supposed to be free money. It's not always that way. Not always. And so they get this gold, this frankincense, and myrrh, and they're scratching their heads. Okay, this is baby Jesus. We get it. Things are going grout. Yeah, this must be Jesus. I'm doing well in work. We got a home and a barn. Now we're here. Now we got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Man, this is wonderful. But things change. An angel appears, says, you got to leave. Wait, what? What? Man, I moved up. I don't want to move out. I moved up. It's like, no, you got to leave. Herod's going to kill the baby. You got to go. And that night they leave. And so they start in Nazareth, they go to Bethlehem, and now, instead of getting back to Nazareth again, they're going away. In fact, they're going to Egypt. But God provided for them the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh to help them get there, to go through that journey, to help them while they were there, whether it was 2 months or 2 years, whatever the common, it's all over the place. We don't really know how much. We kind of figured it out. Just say it was a year and a half. They were there. But God provided for them. It wasn't going as planned. It never really does. So if you look at your scripture, it starts out in Matthew 1:8. Now Jesus Christ took place in this way. I just explained to you the way that it took. It doesn't sound like the way a Savior would be born, right? The one that the world was expecting. They were expecting a warrior king. They were expecting one to take care of the Romans, to take care of the issues, and settle all of it, and make it straight. But that's not how Jesus came. That plan. In fact, nobody even listened to Jesus in his life, not even his disciples. He said, hey, man, my hour is not yet come. I'm going to die. They didn't hear him until he was being whipped and beaten and hung on a cross. We make these plans and things change. The next scripture is Matthew 2:13-14. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, rise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. We just went through this story. They had been in Nazareth. They went to Bethlehem, and now they're going to Egypt. They're getting further and further away from home. Can't even go back home. Sometimes our home have been so changed, it's different. It's the same with Mary and Joseph. They get wind as they're going to Egypt that there was this mass genocide. Herod comes in and he slaughters all the babies, 2 years old and younger, just to get rid of Jesus. And that leaves your head scratching. Jesus escaped while these babies are slaughtered. Right? Things we just don't understand. So if you look at your outline, point one is we have to learn to accept the unchangeable. There are going to be things in your life that happen to you that you just cannot change. Mary and Joseph could not change the fact that Herod was an evil, wicked man who was bent on destroying Jesus in hopes to save his own kingdom. And how many of us today are so bent on saving ourselves that we sacrifice the people in our lives to do it. Right? So there are things that you just have to accept in life. My worker, Bobby, I got to mention him for a little bit. While I was working on the sermon, he ended up in the hospital. And it was not even expected. Right? He goes in, they find a mass on his pancreas. They say, we're just going to remove the pancreas. They go in to remove the pancreas, and his cancer is everywhere. He's 46. And now he goes from, I've got this life that I've screwed up on, and I've been given a chance in my life to make amends. But when he wakes up, he's given the news, he's got to live. How do you tell someone to accept the unchangeable when the unchangeable thing in their life is a death sentence? Right? Jesus Christ is the only thing that can take you through this life, even through the unchangeable things that we just have to accept. But I accept them because of Christ. The first scripture here is we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. That's 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. What I want you to do is circle all the but nots. Because God provides the but nots on the areas that you just can't change life. I am absolutely positive Bobby was hard-pressed when he got the news. but he was not crushed. I am absolutely positive that Bobby was scratching his head and a little perplexed. That you go in for surgery expecting the outcome to be this, and you find out the outcome is now terminal. But he was not abandoned. His God did not abandon him. I'm absolutely positive that Bobby was struck down at that moment. I messed up my life, God. You just given me a new life, God. I thought I had time to work this all out, God. And now what? But see, God, the but not was, is he's not destroyed. There are things in this life that you cannot change, but God will get you through it. Right? Only God is going to help us to do the things that are necessary, to say the things that are necessary, and not do the things or say the things that are easy. Right? But God. The second scripture here is, therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light of affliction is producing, and I would circle that, producing for us an absolute, incomparable, internal weight of glory. Something is changing because of our suffering. Something is going to be produced. There is something significant happening in our lives. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Right? Something is being produced in our suffering that we don't get from prosperity. Something significant is happening. It's like this. There's this thing called an oyster. Anybody eat an oyster? Right? They sit at the bottom of the ocean there, and they're happy. They're completely sealed around their outer rim. And they can blow some little stuff and move around underneath there. Oysters are great things. They taste delicious. But when a piece of sand gets inside of an oyster, it irritates the oyster. Now, the oyster can do all sorts of amazing things, but it can't expel the sand. That irritating piece of sand just stays in there, but what there does, it starts excreting all these enzymes that surround the sand and fill the sand, and you know what it turns into? What? A pearl. This is what's happening when God is working within us, when we get that irritating thing that comes in our life, that unchangeable thing that happens. And we surrender it to God, and we give it to God, and we're trusting, saying, God, I trust you. He surrounds that thing and into something amazing. The oyster produces a pearl. What's that pearl inside of you that God's producing? We want so much out of our suffering. We want so much to get the easy way out. We want so much for our family just to come to know the Lord, come to know the Lord, come to know the Lord. It's just so much easier if you just came to know the Lord, when really... That pearl is us living the life for them to see. Is loving them despite of what they say and do sometimes. That pearl is living it out for us. The second major thing that we have to do is we have to adjust to the obstacles. Those unchangeable things in our life now become obstacles. Because our minds are always making things of them. We're making mountains out of molehills. You know that one? So those unchangeable moments, as our minds work, they become these mountains. They become these obstacles. There's a great story of this USS Destroyer, and I'm going to really blow this story, but it's heading, it's getting called to war, and it sees this light straight ahead coming at it. And it's like, you know, you better turn 10 degrees to the right. And the light calls back and says, no, you turn 10 degrees to the right. And the destroyer says, this is a USS Destroyer. I suggest you turn 10 degrees to the right. So this is a lighthouse. I suggest you turn 10 degrees to the right. Right? Sometimes those unchangeable things that become obstacles in our lives become things that we're going to crash in. And we have to prepare by surrender, by saying, God, I just trust you with this obstacle. Because only God can change our course heading. Only God can navigate you through that obstacle. Now, a lot of the times, I'll raise your hand if you're bold enough that you just want to avoid the obstacle, right? I just want to pretend the obstacle's not even there. Bliss fall on my way. I certainly don't want to go through the obstacle. Sometimes God navigates you just around the leading edge of that obstacle. And most of the time, God's going to lead you right through that obstacle. Because something is being produced. Something magnificent is happening during the suffering. And those unchangeable objects that become, or unchangeable things that become objects in our life, God is doing something amazing with them. So don't avoid them. Ask God to direct you through them and guide you through them. Write on your paper somewhere, something is being produced, because when we get to the end, you're going to love it. So the scripture is 2 Corinthians 12:8 through 10. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times, take this away from me. But he said to me, my grace is for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness, and blah, blah, blah. We hear that scripture all the time. It's like, yes, Paul can do that. I am having a hard time with that. Wait a minute. I'm pleading with the Lord 3 times. Take this away. Take this away. Take this away. That's avoiding the obstacle. When Christ tells Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, he's saying, trust me as I navigate you through this life, as I navigate you through these obstacles of the things that you cannot change. Anybody have a past? Anybody have a past? Man. There's things in my past I cannot change. As much as I want to, I would love to have a time machine to take who I am now, to go back into the past, to change things. It's never going to happen. You give that past back to God so it doesn't become a destructive obstacle in your life, because something is going to be produced from it. Let God work this all out to produce the right outcome. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses. I would circle my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. And I would circle that. Christ's power is made perfect while I'm weak, while I'm broken, while my things are completely destroyed, in the things that I cannot change, in the obstacles that I face, I can trust God because I'm not trying to fix things anymore. I'm not trying to go my own way. So that I take pleasure in my weaknesses, and I would circle each one of these, insults, catastrophes, persecutions, and pressures. If you are facing those today, and you're trying to avoid them, you're trying to get through them quickly, when God says, listen, something magnificent is going to be produced through each one of these. Because Christ, for when I am weak, then, and I would circle, then he is strong. We can't avoid our weaknesses, because in our weaknesses is where we find Christ's strength. In our darkest moments is where we find the power of God. And we avoid the weaknesses. We avoid the dark places. And so we avoid God's strength. Do you get it? You got to find comfort while you're there so he can be your source. The next scripture, Jesus responded to them, do you now believe? Look, an hour is coming and has come. How about your hours? Has your hour come today? Bobby's hour has come. If you're not going through an hour now, I guarantee you, your hour will come. There will be a time where your hour will come, when you will recognize, man, God, I need you. You either run from him or you're going to run to him. You're either going to avoid it or you're going to go through it. But that hour will come. when each one of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone. This is Jesus speaking about the disciples when they're going to disperse at the time of his arrival. Yet, I would circle that, I am not alone because my Father is with me. I have told you those things so that that in me you may have peace. See, you are never alone. Mary and Joseph may have been holding baby crying, this is not what we planned, God. Where are you? Well, I'm right here with you. You're actually nursing me. I've never left you. In fact, I did everything in my power to come to you. And that's what Christ does for you every day. You will have sufferings in this world. I would circle that. You are guaranteed sufferings in this world. But he says, be courageous. I would circle that. Be courageous. For God has conquered the world. We have to understand that God is with us. So the only way we can accept the unchangeable, the only way we can adjust to the obstacles is by the third point, affirming God's presence in our life. That he is actively at work. That stuff I was talking about, producing what it produces, it's when we accept those unchangeable things, when we let God navigate us through the obstacles, and that thing is being produced that I was talking about, it's called redemption. Okay? The scripture is like this: look, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to do. Jesus Christ has set out when he ascended back into heaven to do everything in his power to produce in you his will and his plan. So let me tell you, when you're going through those things that are unchangeable, when you have those obstacles in life and you are just so unsure, let me guarantee you, God is walking behind you. He is in front of you. He is right next to you, whispering in your ear, this is the way, walk in it. And those times where you can't feel him behind you, and you can't see him in front of you, and you can't hear him next to you, I guarantee you that's when he's carrying you. My employee Bobby's have much time, but he knows that his God is going to carry him. He knows that God is going to carry him through this life. And what a blessing it is for him to get this news. It took me a while to process this out, but we don't have a guarantee in this life. We don't even know when our time is going to be up. And what a blessing for Bobby to know. Because now he gets to see with that are not clouded. He gets to hear with ears that are not plugged up and a mind that's not confused, because now he knows. What a blessing it is to be right here, right now, hearing the word of God, living and breathing. In fact, if you have a time right now to seek forgiveness, you have a time right now to accept Christ, you have a time right now to change things, to say I love you, say I'm sorry, to pay restitution, you have a time right now to stand in the mightiness of God and not on your own. Do not waste 1 minute of it. Do not waste 1 second of it, and let God do what he's meant to do. Do not waste a second. Because what you have right now is a miracle. By just having the opportunity to sit here today. And hear me. The scripture goes on. We also have joy with our troubles. Here's the producing. Because we know that these troubles produce what? Patience, favorite thing. And patience produces what? Character. And character produces what? Hope. Christ is our hope. Something is being produced. There is no guarantee in this all entire Bible. I've been reading this thing every year for 10 years. I've got journals that clear my room from journaling through the Word. All that time, I've not found a scripture, one that tells me that my suffering is going to be removed. what I have found emphatically is that my suffering is going to be redeemed. Right? It's going to be, for, let's use a new word, for 2015, recycled. My suffering is going to be recycled. That grief that we just can't think that we could get through, that worst case scenario that we think we're just going to collapse under, God is going to recycle it as he's producing those things, as he's sanctifying you along the way. Don't waste a second of time to do the things that Christ is asking you to do. Redemption's like this. It costs something to redeem, right? To redeem a slave, it costs somebody had to pay a price to redeem a slave, correct? To redeem a planet, somebody had to lose life. A slave bears the marks of his slavery. The whip marks, the starving marks, the broken bones. A redeemed alcoholic may even bear the scars on his liver. A redeemed sufferer also bears scars. Mental scars. Emotional scars. Memories. But if that last scripture that I read is true, that our troubles will produce patience, and that patience produces character, and that character produces hope, then those scars, those mental scars, those memories, as God's redeeming those things inside of us, it's not just doing something to us. It's doing things for those people that are around us. To see the love of Christ, something has to change. The guilt, the regret, the grief. God turns them all around, and he makes something. There's a wonderful story about affirming God's presence. And it's a mom and dad took their little boy to go see a piano recital. If you have may heard this story. And so the curtains are closed and they're talking with their friends, and they didn't really realize that their toddler had walked up and went behind the curtains. Just as they sit back, the curtains start going back. They realize their little one's gone. They're in an utter panic. They're looking for him. And just as they glance up, you know where he's at? He's at the grand piano, and he's pecking out, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star." And just then, the piano walks out behind the little boy, and he whispers in his ear, he says, "Don't stop." And he picks up his left hand, and he starts exemplifying the music of "Twinkle, twinkle, little star." And then he takes his right hand, and he surrounds the boy and turns it into a beautiful masterpiece. That's what God is doing. When he's redeeming the suffering in our lives, he is making a masterpiece out of the music that we think is hunting and pecking. We're there with all of our might, just trying to hit the notes. And God surrounds us with his wonderful glory and makes a beautiful song from what we think is wreckage. Please don't take another second and waste any more time of doing the things that only Christ can do. There's scripture in Revelation. Excuse me. Revelation 1:17. When I saw him, I fell down at his feet like a dead man. He put his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last." I love that scripture because there's all these little renditions that we would do. I think Amy Grant sang a song, I might be wrong, about "If I could only imagine." You know, would I can't remember how the song go. Would I run and give Jesus a hug, or would I fall down on my face? And I love this one because it's exactly how I would feel. If I were to appear right in front of Jesus, I wouldn't even have the strength to stand. I would crumble at his feet of the weight of the stuff that I'm carrying. But he would put his hand on me and he would say, do not be afraid. I am the first. Listen, those unchangeable things, well, God never changes. So because God never changes, he can take and change the unchangeable things in your life. God is the beginning. He says, I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. He's not kidding. It's him who knows the end to help us get through the new beginning. So when God breathed life into existence, right? Let's go back to Genesis for just a second. God's getting ready to do his thing. He's getting ready to blow existence in, or breathe existence into place. And he foresees the end of time. He sees the sin of man. He sees all of your suffering. He sees all of that life. And before he breathes that in, he creates a thread of redemption called his son. And as he breathes, that thread goes out all the way through life until the end. And that thread, that redemption is Christ, who can change your suffering, who can set you free. And I love going back here to Matthew. It's in Matthew 1:23, it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. So in that moment in Matthew, in that very second when they say, you will call him Emmanuel, this is what was meant. That in the 2015, when we're horrified by the terrorist attack, when we're horrified about the way the country's going, when we're horrified and grief-stricken about our families and friends, Emmanuel, God is with you. Please know that whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're reading and hearing and seeing and feeling, that God is with us. He is with you personally. We all want that home for the holidays, right? We all want that place to go home. Mary and Joseph needed to go home, but they ended up in Egypt. But they were called up out of Egypt to go where? You may be journeying out from Nazareth to Bethlehem right now. You may be in Bethlehem and having to leave and go to Egypt right now. I don't know where you are, where your hour it is, but I guarantee you that God is going to call you back and bring you home, whether it's to a heavenly home or it's to a new beginning, where only he can change the unchangeable, where only he can navigate you through the obstacles, right? So really, go back to the beginning of your outline, and it says home for Christmas. Scratch that out and write hope in Christ. You want to have a home for Christmas? Have hope in Christ. You want to wake up every morning with new power and new authority? Say, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. I don't want to have one ounce of strength left in me, God, but I trust you. I don't understand why this has happened, God, but I have to trust you. I have to trust you. He will see you through. He will carry you through. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for this day, Lord. Thank you so much for giving me the strength to get through this. Lord, there is so much going on in this world. But I just want to say now that as your children here in this room, we trust you. We trust you that you're going to do something magnificent in what we see and hear. We trust you, Lord, that in the things that we just cannot change, Father, that you can do some amazing things. Lord, we trust you with those obstacles, Father, that we just can't seem to even understand how big they are. We trust you. We trust you. So if you're here right now and you have got some stuff in your life and you are suffering, if you're going to trust God right now, just raise your hand. If you're going to trust God in your situation and your circumstances, raise your hand. If you're going to trust God for your hopes and your dream, raise your hand. If you're going to trust God in the midst of the impossibilities, raise your hand. If you're going to trust God in all that you don't know, just raise your hand. Father God, you've seen the eyes of those that are here. You've seen the hands that are raised, Father, those that are committed to trusting you. Lord, I pray that each one of us here are strengthened anew with the power of your Holy Spirit, that we feel your presence, that you ignite us, and that you awaken us, Lord, to your power and to your authority and to your amazing grace. Lord, only you can do those things. But we give glory, honor, and praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.